Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome to Overnight America. It's the last show of the week. Ooh, something very special is happening next week. Actually, two very special things. 1 week from today, producer Mike and myself are going to Enterprise Center to see the Red Wings take on the St. Louis Blues, and we do have to figure out what type of bet we're going to put on it. But the night before Wednesday night, we're going to do something very, very special. We are going to have some professionals come through our building here at KMOX. And those professionals are going to be able to bring their instruments in, and they're going to test, and they're going to see if there's any ghosts in our building. Ooh, joining us now, John Lindsay, who's going to be here a week from today. John, thank you for calling in.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And I'm a Blues season ticket holder, so I will be there the next night as well.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Now, I wanted to point out that I've started to talk to people around the building that we're doing this, and I've started to compile some of their ghost stories of things that they're convinced happened to them in this building, in some of the locations they happened in. I'll give you a couple of examples. One of our news anchors, Alex Degman, swears that after he came out of the bathroom, he heard someone following him, but when he turned around, there was no one there. So there's that area. We have Valerie, who does our production. In one of the old production rooms, she swears that in a filing cabinet, something was agitating itself in there. And it happened multiple times, but whenever they open up the drawer, nothing was in there. Okay? And then I've seen flickering of lights here at the studio when we've talked about ghosts. It's very strange. And there's also people that swear they've heard voices. So there's a lot of people here in the building that are thinking to themselves, this is necessary. So I wanted to talk to you about what we're going to do next week, what you're going to do, and how you even find these things with your instruments. So let's start with what you're going to do.
Absolutely. Well, the first thing I want to do is just exactly what you're doing now, and that is find out stories. We do things differently. I shouldn't say differently. I guess it's a lot of people do the same thing than we do, but we just hopefully do it better than them. But we don't employ any kind of psychics or any kind of thing like that. I've talked to some people who do this kind of thing. We've been doing this a long time. We've done this in places all over the country, you know, from the Queen Mary to, you know, all over the place. Quite a few different investigations I mentioned. We've been filmed on the A&E Network. We're actually going to be filming our own pilot for our own TV show coming up a little bit later this summer. We want to know everything possible that there is to know because we have a limited amount of time no matter where we are, and we want to be able to get into those spots where people talk about those kinds of things. We have multiple pieces of equipment. We have an eight-room night vision DVR camera system. I've got a gentleman who's really, really good and really fast at setting up those cameras and breaking them down real quickly. We're going to get in there, set those up. We have recorders that amplify sound in real time, so you'll be able to take a listen to that. You'll be able to hear things you wouldn't normally necessarily hear with, you know, your own just listening with your ear.
My deaf hearing.
We've got
full
spectrum cameras. Absolutely, yeah. We got full spectrum cameras that we utilize. We have all kinds of different equipment. We have millimeters. We have things that measure temperature fluctuations, both same things like ambient room temp and room temperature. Fluctuations, things like that. We have multiple pieces of equipment. Like I said, we've been at it for a long time, and we're going to get all those things in there, get set up, and we'll actually get a real good EVP session going where we get to ask some questions and see if we can get some responses. Oh. Maybe we can, you know, whether it be an audio response, whether it be something on one of our meters and gauges that we use. And the thing of it is we really deal in what kind of things we can hopefully be able to prove or disprove. Uh-huh. So anytime somebody tells me something that's happening in this particular area, my mind is already saying, well, it could be this, it could be that, it could be that. Here's a possible logical explanation. Mm-hmm. So we're going to look at all that kind of stuff and see, because it's only by weeding out the logical explanations.
Right.
where you can really get something and say, I have no explanation for this. Now, and consequently, that is paranormal. Paranormal just means not, it means outside the bounds of normal. So,
you know, I got a text message from my wife. She wants to know if that technology could be used in her home so I can hear her better. Too many times she says I don't hear her. So she's like, hey, can you help amplify what I'm saying? So, I blame it on it. She says selective hearing. I don't know if that's the case. I think just wearing headphones so long have hurt my ability to hear. All right, so we'll go around. Have you ever done this live before on air? Because what we're going to do is I already talked to our engineer, and we set up where I have this special technology where I'm going to be able to walk around with you while we're doing these tests in the building, broadcasting it live while we're looking for these things.
Great, great, fantastic.
Have you ever done that before live on air?
We've never done exactly like that, certainly not on a radio, so that'll be a little bit different for us. Now, the idea that we are filming for our own show kind of is a little bit similar. Obviously, it's taped, but it has a lot of interaction. So I don't know what your plans are. If you maybe have, I would love to be able to take call. I don't know what your plans are, but if people had questions about things, I would love to be able to answer that. We do public investigations all across the country. We do a lot of work out west, but we go all over the place, and we hold public investigations quite often. We're going to be holding up a public investigation, the Missouri State Penitentiary coming up at some point here, the Lent Mansion, some other places. So absolutely, we would, this is something we're really looking forward to doing and looking forward to getting feedback. And we're very used to bringing in people who have never done it before. That we're very, very used to.
I guess we have the ability to take some calls. I'll have headphones in, so I'll be able to monitor what's on air, because we'll have to go to commercial break still while we're doing this. But if we do take calls, you wouldn't be able to hear it, but I could at least take them and relay the information to you. I guess we could try something like that. I don't know.
That'd be perfect. That's absolutely the way we would normally do something like that. We have done things before where with another radio station where they did not broadcast it live, but originally that was something we had discussed. And as it turns out, they just actually came out and did one of our public investigations that was actually here local. We're based in St. Louis, Missouri, so we go all across the country. But hopefully it's going to be one of these things where we're going to be one of the next big shows that pop up that you'll be able to say, hey, these guys are right here locally.
Oh, so that would be awesome.
That's what we're hoping for.
Do you have a website people can check out some of the things you're doing?
Yeah, we're actually redoing our website. You can find us on, because we have had one, it was www.paranormalpass.com. We're actually going to be redoing that, so I'll be able to have a new one for people really, really quickly. But we actually are all over social media. You can find us at just Pass Team on Facebook, we're on Twitter and all over the place, of course.
So. All right, so how many people are going to be here next Wednesday?
Well, we won't have a full complement of team, but that's fine. As it stands right now, we're looking probably my daughter, my son. My son's been doing this with me for many years. My daughter has actually just gotten really into it recently, and she started doing them as well over the last year, a couple of years or so here. But we'll have probably, looks like right now, about off the top of my head, about five, and I'm really excited because,
about
five of us. Yeah, we have about five people in here. If that's all right. As of right now, about where I think we'll be at.
Okay.
Really excited because we really have a heck of a team. We've got people that I've known for many years, and people I've been investigating with for many years. We kind of know each other's movements backwards and forwards, which is fantastic, especially in this kind of a situation. That's why we're really looking forward to being able to get in there and do this live on air.
Ghostbuster jumpsuits? Do you wear those?
No, but we will. We did used to travel around. I will tell you this:
in a hearse?
We used to travel around in a big Class A motorhome all across the country.
Okay.
And people used to talk about it as whatever that I forget what it's called on Scooby Doo with
the
band that they had. Yeah, that's it. we've done a lot of radio interviews across the country, and they all you got your own mystery machine. I'm like, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
So
all right, I'll email you on the timings. I was afraid I didn't want to take up too much of your guys' time. So I originally said an hour, but if we need more than an hour, we can go as long as we need. You know, we have the
focus. Absolutely. Like I mentioned before, we're very used to doing 6-8 hour investigations. So we're fine. However long you want us to go, we're good.
We
love
on.
Doing what we do. And yeah, so there you go. That works. Dr. Pepper too. Get the Dr. Pepper out.
Okay. We have a vending machine here, so that could work.
There you go.
We got
That'll
it.
Work.
Right. John Lindsay, thank you so much. I'm very much looking forward to doing this ghost. What would you call it? A ghost hunt? A ghost research?
Here's the thing. We don't ever call them a ghost hunt. A paranormal investigation.
Paranormal investigation. Okay.
There you go.
I want to make
there
sure I get the terminology correct.
Absolutely. John, absolutely. We're looking forward to it. We're very thankful for the opportunity.
I can't wait. A lot of people are excited for this. Hey, thank you, John. Thank you. Oh, the call drop? Oh, no. I didn't do that. Sometimes that happens. Maybe it was a ghost. Did you touch that? I didn't touch it. Are you serious? No one touched it. He didn't hang up. John. I think a ghost just hung up. I am not kidding right now. Remember, we would talk about this stuff and the lights would flicker. We were talking about paranormal investigation and the call just hung itself up. He was mid-sentence. Oh, man. This is going to happen. We're doing this next week. We're doing this. All right, so that's John Lindsay. Thank you for joining us on the GL International Realty Guest Line. I'm not kidding. No one touched anything here. Whew. Week from today, this will be fun. All right, coming up next, Carl Babinski. He's a AccuWeather meteorologist, and I want to talk to him about this system that just rolled through here. Pretty crazy winds. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
News at the top and bottom of the hour. Mornings and afternoons, KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. No joke. John Lindsay called back during the break, said he did not hang up. That sound, that boom, that's our digital phone lines when they disconnect. I don't know. They don't like us talking about them here in the building. Joining us now is AccuWeather meteorologist Carl Babinski. Thank you for joining us, Carl.
Yes, hello.
You just missed it. Next week we're going to do a paranormal investigation. I didn't want to say ghost hunt because that is not the correct terminology, but a crew's going to come through and we're going to walk through our building and try to confirm any of these sightings and things that some of the staff swear they have seen, if any, there's any validity to it. And right before, so we're doing this next week on Wednesday, and I was bringing on the paranormal investigator, John Lindsay, and while we were talking, the phone lines just cut themselves off. As if the ghosts in the building don't want us talking about it. So you missed out on that excitement right before the call here. You get us a lot of excitement when it comes to the weather. I talked to a friend of mine out in Denver and just how crazy the storm was in Denver, that cyclone, bomb cyclone or whatever. And we saw the system come through this region. We had some really high winds, and we're still seeing high winds in the region. Kind of explain to us, where is the system now and where is it going?
Well, very potent low-pressure system, or the bomb cyclone, as you referred to it as, it is lifting out to the north and will be eventually moving into Canada. But obviously, it has left behind quite a legacy. As you pointed out, the blizzard-like conditions, it was a blizzard in Colorado, and our wind gust in excess of 60 miles per hour as far away as Missouri. I mean, that's pretty impressive for a March storm. In the Rockies, in case you're curious, there's this misconception about the Rockies that they typically get most of their snow during midwinter. Actually, it's the seasons of transition when most of the snow occurs in Metro Denver. In other words, when you have the fall, October to November, during that time frame, and also in late March and April, that's typically when they see some of their biggest storms. So this particular low-pressure area that's lifting out to the north will loosen its grip on the middle of the country here, but there's going to be a lot of cleanup. In fact, in Metro Detroit on this Thursday evening, north of Detroit in Shiawassee County, there were a couple of tornadoes that touched down between Detroit and Flint. So not only has this produced heavy snow and some very strong damaging wind gusts that have downed trees and power lines, even a couple of tornadoes as far north as lower Michigan, their prime season for getting severe weather, for getting storms that produce tornadoes, is typically between May and July. So a very out of season event up there. So the low continues to move on to the north and west, or north and east, make that, into eastern Canada. High pressure will be building in its place. So I think that once the wind dies down on Friday, and it's gradually diminishing, it's taking its sweet time, but once these winds do finally diminish, we're going to have a quiet period of weather for the next few days. It's going to be cooler, I'll grant you that. For example, tomorrow highs will only be in the mid-40s. It'll take until Sunday for us to get back to or slightly above 50. But for much of next week, things will be quieter as a high-pressure system dominates really much of the lower 48 states. This is not just going to be in the Midwest. Much of the Rockies, which dealt with the blizzard earlier, The East Coast, just the entire United States, continental U.S., will be quieting down. And I did have a bird tell me that you were going to ask about the upcoming spring forecast. So I'm sure the next great lead-in question would be, will this quiet pattern that we're expecting next week, will this be the norm?
Will this last? No, actually, no. I was going to make fun of Canada. I'm glad we're returning the storm back to them. I didn't know if the storm patterns, do they normally just go out to the Atlantic Ocean, or do you normally see it swing back into Canada towards the tail end? I was curious if that was typical.
Well, yeah, the storms often do exit North America via eastern Canada without a visa. And
without, they can have it. They're the ones that gave it to us. Return to sender. Get it out of here.
Oh, well, I'm afraid I'll have to politely disagree. This storm, this bomb cyclone, it's the upper level support or the vigorous jet stream energy which spawned this storm in the Rockies moved through the Four Corners region of the Southwest. So you need to look to places like California first, and then New Mexico, Arizona. Then once it got east of the Rockies, once it got on the lee side, or to you and me, it's known as the eastern side, that's when it really took off. So yeah, I have to politely disagree and say, you know, Canada, you can't blame them for this.
Not for this one. No. Well, I thought whenever we get these cold temperatures, it's always something that finds its way just festering up in Canada, then eventually comes down through the area. We get a cold blast for a couple of days, then it cycles its way back out. So this one originates from California. Thanks a lot, California.
Hey, you heard their drought finally has been official. After just actually in our office, Faith Ehrhertz, who is one of our member of our team, she's part of the AccuWeather.com forecast writing team. She just pointed out that the wet winter in California has brought the streak of 376 weeks with drought in California. That streak has ended.
Whoa, that's big news. That's excellent news.
Yeah, and there's still a lot of snow. From what I've heard, in the Tahoe area, they're going to be snowing through the 4th of July weekend. And there's just a lot of snowpack in the Sierra. So this will be an incredible source of water for months to come. Because, of course, it takes a long time for that snow to melt. And so they have finally, for the first time in, I believe, 6 years, have broken their drought.
Wow. When officially did they lift the drought status? Is that just today?
Yeah, basically, and I'm actually looking at this article now. It says the first time in more than 7 years. There's just 7% of the state, and it's a small sliver of the state that's located near the Oregon border, which is still technically considered below or in a drought status. But Central and Southern California now. Brett Rathbun, another AccuWeather contributor, reminded us too. While it's good news that they have ended their drought, it's probably going to also cause a lot of vegetation to grow, and that'll probably spawn a very active fire season later in the year.
Interesting.
Yeah, which typically happens later in the summer and early in the fall. So, sorry to go off on a tangent there about California.
No, that's good. That's great news for them. Actually, we were going to ask you to see if you wanted to join us. We were going to do the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air rap, but for the sake of time, you mentioned the spring. So are we going to be officially in spring mode sometime soon? Or really, if we were to try to project what to expect now in St. Louis moving forward, are we going to see more of like weekends like this where we get these big gusty winds, cold temperatures, or is that finally over with?
Well, we're probably going to be in a period of transition. Our official spring forecast calls for a transition to take place early in April. We're probably still, we know that this weekend we're going to be on the chilly side. Mm-hmm. For example, predicting a high within a few degrees of 50 on Saturday and Sunday. The typical daytime highs in St. Louis on the 16th and the 17th of March, they're typically in the mid-50s. So we're going to be about 6 degrees below normal. And the prognosis is that there will be a gradual shift taking place. By early April, our temperatures should be close to, if not above, the seasonal averages. And by early April, I mean, just to give you some idea of how quickly these temperatures, these normals go up, you know, normal high on St. Patrick's Day on Sunday in St. Louis, 56. By April 1st, the normal high is 62. So in a period of 2 weeks, those normals jump 6 degrees. Mm. So we should be solidly in the 60s for much of the first half of April, if not warmer. One question that everybody always asks is, what about the potential for some severe weather? Mm-hmm. The focal point, we believe, of the strongest storms this coming season will be in Oklahoma and the Red River Valley, Oklahoma and North Texas. It looks like there will be some prolonged dry stretches in Missouri. I would think that as we transition into May and June, that could change. You know, usually Missouri gets most of its action during May and June, but April, well, at least for now, looks rather quiet, but we're going to have to keep an eye on areas not too far to our south and west. So things probably get more active as the spring season moves on, and that's typical, really, as we see those temperatures crack the 80-degree mark on frequent days in May. Huh. That's pretty common.
Nice. All right. Carl Babinski, AccuWeather meteorologist, thank you so much for joining us here on KMOX.
All right. Have a great night.
Will. Wow. All right. So Canada didn't send it to us this time. We're out of time. How about after the break? You want to do a little Fresh Prince? I don't know how many people messaged me about the Full House theme song yesterday, Producer Mike. I mean, so many people messaged me about that. I wanted to try a different song. Of course, Fresh Prince is a natural. I think I know all the words to that one. I didn't know all the words to Full House, but I think I know all the words to this one, just based on memory from the 90s. There's some songs you heard enough times where you can, it's like muscle memory, brain muscle memory. Ugh. Maybe we'll do that next. That could be fun. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX.
I cannot tell you how many people actually messaged me about the karaoke we did yesterday, Producer Mike. There were so many people. Here, let me just play a little bit of it. Let's see if we can get the lyrics better this time. You ready? Whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paperboy, evening TV. You miss your old familiar friend. Waiting just around the bend. Everywhere you look, everywhere there's a heart. The beat of heart longs to. Everywhere you look, everywhere there's something. Somebody who needs you. Out there and you're all alone. Ryan is waiting to carry you home. Overnight America. Shoo-ba-ba-ba-ba-da. Oh, I say we did a pretty good job of that. I loved it. All right, so that was yesterday. There were so many people that reached out to me that liked it, and I thought, we got to do another one. So naturally, I thought, how about we take the same songwriter in another show, a very famous 90s television show? You said you don't know the words to Family Matters? This doesn't sound familiar to you at all?
The song does, but I don't know the words to this one.
I just listened to a second of it. We don't have to sing it. It's a rare condition this day and age. You don't know the words?
Not at all. It's on the newspaper page. Another
tradition of the grand design. All right, so that's a great song,
yeah, keep
too.
Keep going.
It's harder to find. So that was also a very famous TGIF. It's the Urkel one and Carl Winslow and all of the family. You know, what's interesting about that show is they had a daughter that went upstairs one day and never came back down, never mentioned her ever again. They just wrote her off the show with no mention. And they replaced the wife without even saying anything. So one season it was one actress, and the next season a completely different actress. They didn't even, it didn't even happen. And another fun fact about that, Urkel, in order to retain his services, he was such a huge star at the time. He wanted the ability to keep the syndication rights and the rights of the television show. I might be saying that wrong, but he has the rights to the show. So when it runs in syndication, when they sell it on DVDs, things like that, he's making a ton of money. Smart for him to do that. Very smart business decision for him to. So, yeah, more Family
Matters. I kind of, playing off that, I brought that up to you maybe about a month ago, if you had ever seen the movie Big Fat Liar with Frankie Muniz and Amanda Bynes.
I'm not.
Probably early 2000s, and yeah, there's a point in the end where Jaleel White, who plays the role of Urkel, shows up to give them a ride, and he's driving like a Lamborghini or something.
Urkel is?
Oh, yeah. And they're like, what? Where did you get this? And I think his line is, I didn't wear all those suspenders for free, dog.
All right, let's do I asked you, what song can we do tonight? You said Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I think I know all the words to this one. I might not. Did you look them up?
No, I didn't need to look this one up. Come on.
You ready? We're going to shotgun right into it. You ready?
Sure.
Here it goes.
Now this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down, and I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel-Air.
Ooh, all right. Feel pretty good. don't want a free rap at all here?
No. That's all, Jerome.
Duh. In West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground is where I spend most of my days. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool and all, shooting some b-ball. I thought of the school winner that were up to no good. Started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got one little fight, my mom got scared. She said, you're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air.
Whistle for a cab.
And when it came near, the license plate said fresh and had dice in the mirror. If anything, I can say that this cat was rare, but I thought, man, forget it, you're home to Bel Air.
Wow.
I pulled
up to the house about 7 or 8, and I yelled to the cabbie, your home, smell you later. Looked at my kingdom, I was finally there. Stood on my throne, and there's Prince of Bel-Air.
Whoa! You knew every word. You knew every word to that.
Man, I remember the days when you would come home from school, and that was the first thing you'd watch with your big sister.
Wow.
Shout out to Emily.
That was such a great show. All those episodes were hilarious. They were so good. I can't believe you knew every word.
I bet you did the Carlton dance at all the mixers as a kid.
Oh, I wish I knew the Carlton dance. I'd have been so much cooler. Anyone that knows the Carlton dance is cool. Like, have you known one person that can do the Carlton dance that wasn't cool? No one. If you know the dance, you're instantly a celebrity to me. You might as well be the coolest guy in town. It doesn't get any cooler than that. Can you do the Carlton dance?
I think everyone can. Isn't that the point?
No, it's very specific.
So easy
dance.
That's why.
No, he makes it. No, only he can do that. It's a very specific movement that it takes years to perfect.
Mm.
You have to go up into the hills of Tibet, and there's monks up there that have to teach it to you. And you come down about 9 months later, and you have the routine down, and that's the only way you can officially.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I didn't know he did that.
You know, he sued a video game that ripped off his move. Did you know that? And they told him he can't copyright that dance.
No, I did not.
Yeah, there's a very popular game called Fortnite.
He's probably going to sue us now for singing the song.
No, I wish that they would. What happened was he made and popularized that dance. And then a video game named Fortnite, very popular shooting game. Mm-hmm. Millions of kids play it. And they have this little thing. You press a button and you can do a little dance move with your character. And they did one of them, the Carlton dance.
Kids.
And they ripped it off frame by frame exactly. So they must have like rotoscoped it or something because it's the exact move. And they did that for a lot of other popular dances. So people sued Fortnite. They said, hey, you're putting this in your game. You're making money off of our dances. And so they said, okay, this is a piece of art. It's artistic. We're the ones that popularized it. Now you're profiting off of our dance. They sued him and they dismissed the lawsuit because they said you can't copyright such a small amount of dance. Like a dance move itself can't be copywritten. It's too small. It has to be a larger work, a part of something else for it to be copyrightable, which is a shame. I was hoping Carlton would get some money off of that. Such a likable guy, you know? You want to learn the dance? Loser of the game next week has to learn the dance and do it in public. You want to do
that?
Yeah,
but that doesn't really benefit our radio audience.
Oh, if we put it
online,
it's a
little more visual.
How about that? That would be a good one. What do you think?
We'll put it on the dartboard.
Okay. It's an idea. Next week when the Wings are in town to take on the Blues, producer Mike and I are taking the night off. Brad Young's going to be filling in a week from today on Thursday night. And we're going to be going, and we have to figure out what we're betting on for that. Whew. All right, so that was fun. Oh, I'm so impressed, you know, all the words to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That seemed a lot easier to do than the Full House karaoke. Wow. How many other songs do you remember? Do you know the Step by Step? Do you know that one?
I definitely remember the video. They're on the roller coaster.
Oh, yeah. What
else is there? Make it better.
What about, what's the one with Zach Morris? The, when I wake up in the morning and make it on time.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, it's the, why can't I think of that? It's the kids in high school.
I definitely know the Boy Meets World one.
You do?
That was a classic.
Why can't I think of the Zach Morris one?
I could do the Home Improvement one because the only words are Tim Allen grunts. That was really good.
Can I hear yours?
I like yours better. We'll just leave it at that. I'll do one.
Okay. No, yours is better. Why can't I think of the Zach Morris show? You know, A.C. Slater, Zach Morris, their high school kids.
Saved by the Bell?
Saved by the Bell. Yeah, that's it. All right.
That was
fun.
Just before my time.
Thanks, producer Mike. That was a lot of fun. Dun, 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 dun. Do the dance next. You know, it's a little goofy. It's Thursday night going into Friday morning. We're a little more flexible. If there's anything you want to talk about, I guess we can start opening the phone lines up. Anything you want to bring up, you can. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You know, we're border to border, coast to coast. We're all over the place. We connect you with everyone else in America right now. You could be driving truck in Texas, just like I think it's Ty down there. Awesome. You may be right up in, you might be in South Carolina. You might be in Minnesota. You might be in Oklahoma or Kansas or Ohio or Michigan or Pennsylvania or Washington, D.C. You could be anywhere. You can connect with the rest of America by giving us a call. You know, we'll have some fun with it the rest of the night on Overnight America KMOX. Not the Carlton dance. I will be honest, I tried to look it up in the break to see if I can do it, and it's going to take some time to learn that one. And those kids, I remember when I was that age, you couldn't have paid me to learn a dance move. Honestly, there was so many. Did you have to take a dance class in grade school? Part of gym classes, they would take a week and you'd have to learn dance moves, like they did the line dancing. You know, you do like, you know, square dancing, stuff like that. I don't know why. I thought that was a thing that everyone did, and apparently it's not. Is that weird that we learned dance moves as part of gym? They use it as like an exercise because, you know, you had to learn a routine. You had to move. You could only play dodgeball so many times, I guess. But then again, the school I went to did not have a gymnasium. So we couldn't do basketball. You know, and some of these other larger sports, you could only do when the weather was nice outside. So there's only so much things you can do during the winter, I guess, if you don't have the ability to do it. You know what Kevin Killeen found out? He was out doing another whole nother story. And part of the whole nother story was he went over to Illinois and he asked them, how do you pronounce this name of the state? And I guess there's some people that pronounce it differently. Is that just an Illinois thing? Is Illinois or Illinois? Illinois, I don't know what some of the variations are. Here's Kevin Killeen. If you're over in Illinois, have you noticed people pronounce the state differently there? I'm just curious. Plus, we're going to keep the phone lines open for you. If you actually want to talk about something, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You can call or text there.
All right. Say Illinois. Let me just see how you say it.
Illinois.
Oh, you say Illinois. Yeah. You're an Illinoiser. How did the E sound get in there?
I don't know.
I mean, it's charming, but I'm wondering, what does it mean?
I don't know.
What city are you from?
Alton.
Alton, what's the name of the state?
Illinois.
So you pronounce it Illinois. What would you say if somebody came up to you and said, you're from Alton, Illinois? Would you say, no, it's Illinois, not Illinois?
I would say, you're right, that's where I'm from.
So you get along with all types of pronunciations?
Yep.
You've heard of Missouri and Missouri, the two different ways Missouri is pronounced. How do you pronounce the state to the east of Missouri?
Illinois.
Again?
Illinois.
Now, it sounds like it's the way you pronounce it that is spelled E-L-L, like Duke Ellington, Illinois. Where did that E sound come from? Is it the way it's always been said in your memory?
Illinois. Yeah, I guess.
What do you drink that comes from a cow in Illinois?
Milk.
Well, see, now you say milk, you don't say milk, but you say Illinois.
I don't know.
No. We're talking to people from the state that's east of Missouri, which is called?
Illinois.
Now you say Illinois, mm-hmm. I-L-L sound. Some people say it Illinois. Which is the right way?
I'm not very sure. All my life I've said Illinois.
Does it catch in your ear when you hear these people saying Illinois lately?
No, just when they say Illinois with an S. The S is silent.
What kind of people add that? Are they from out of the state or people from parts of the state?
Both.
So we've got Illinois, Illinois, and Illinois.
Yes.
But you're an Illinois person.
I am from East St. Louis, Illinois.
Well, would you like to see it standardized? Should the governor issue a proclamation?
No, we have bigger issues than that.
Name one. What is more important than this?
With a whole other story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
Oh, that's funny. I think that's hilarious. Tina texted in, watch how to pronounce Illinois on YouTube. I might have to look at that during the break. Is that really a controversial thing? Do people even know what they're saying? Is that a conscious type of decision where they say Illinois as opposed to Illinois? Or some of them say Illinois, Illinois. So technically, are there four different ways people say it? Are there other ways that people pronounce the name of the state? That's kind of interesting. That's a great whole nother story. I'm glad Kevin Killeen could think to do things like that. It's just only Kevin thinks to do things like that, honestly. We got a couple minutes here before we get to midnight. Oh, I almost forgot what happens after midnight on this show. All right. Right after the news, of course, you'll probably get a little more karaoke. You know what I saw? I thought this was a little goofy. I got a whole stack of stuff here. Maybe I'll try to burn through as many stories as I can. Representative Dan Crenshaw, you may remember him. He was someone that was mocked on Saturday Night Live for his service to this country. He lost an eye. You know, he wears an eye patch. He's a representative down in Texas. And, you know, he was good spirit about it. He ended up going back on SNL and being part of the joke and, you know, joking back or whatever. So he got a little bit of publicity for that, and he was very likable being able to do things like that. Well, he was a featured speaker at the Washington Press Club Foundation's annual congressional dinner and surprised the audience with an impersonation of Donald Trump. So I was thinking, okay, the guy was on SNL for a little bit. He was someone that was able to poke fun at himself on SNL. Maybe he has a little bit of that comedic spirit in him. Maybe this could be funny. So, okay, Representative Dan Crenshaw, I'm going to play you his bit. I didn't think it was funny. People think this is hilarious. I think it's funny in a way, like if you're at a dinner party and there's like 10 people around and, you know, you're like, okay, I guess it's funny. It's not funny in a way you would present it to a crowd, like you're a stand-up comedian and would anticipate people laughing. Here, you judge for yourself.
I'm going to start with a Trump joke because I want to earn your trust. I want you to make you think I'm one of you. Get some street cred.
That's kind of funny. You can remember he's talking to the Press Club Foundation. You know, I'm going to make fun of Trump. I want you to think I'm one of you. You know, because obviously the press being so one-sided, I think that's pretty funny, actually.
Here we go. Tim Apple. This is an awesome moment because I'm just, like, imagining what's going on in the president's head when he's saying this. It's like, Tim makes a lot of money. More money than me? No, not possible. He makes the phones. I make the hotels. He makes little tiny phones. I make big, beautiful hotels. What are those phones called? Apples. Tim Apple. When you brand, it should be your last name, Tim Apple. So there's a lot of people, and there's a lot of people in this room, I think, who really dislike him, but I kind of think you should love him. All right. Journalism is cool again, and you have endless content. Let's be honest. Like, how many of y'all are doing way more TV hits? Your Twitter followers are up. I mean, it's just every single day. Business is good. You should be thanking him. And God knows, imagine if it was John Delaney in the White House. It's nothing. You got nothing.
Okay, so that was Texas Representative Dan Crenshaw. You think that was funny? I don't know. I didn't think it was all that funny. But I like him. I think he's a good guy. I think he's trying to be funny. You know, someone texted in, who are the people in your cheer? So it's kind of funny. We have this liner that runs where it's, you know, give me a W, give me an R, E. You know, and they go through the thing and they spell my name and say it again, Wrecker, woo! There's actually a pretty funny story. When I was working in Ohio, we had a local contestant on So You Think You Can Dance, which was a competition, a reality show competition show on Fox, where you would have a bunch of people that would do these dance routines. They would compete, and at the end, you know, they had one winner. And our local contestant was a man by the name of Kent Boyd. I think he was out of high school at that point. Very talented dancer. In fact, he went all the way to the finals, okay? And he was the final two, and it got down between him and the woman, and I can't remember her name. She ended up winning. Kent was the runner-up. but it was still a really cool thing. Well, we were involved at the radio station doing things with him. We did different rallies. I actually emceed when he came back and did a show for the home crowd. It was really cool because they brought a lot of the contestants back to do the show just for the home crowd. And it was so cool for me to be involved with something like that. Well, when he came back from Los Angeles as part of the, you know, the tapings and everything that's live out there, there was a big, like, let's welcome him back in. And there was like a parade type of deal. So everyone was waving and cheering. And while we were waiting for him to come off the plane, a couple of people did that cheer for me. They were like in the spirit of cheering for Kent Boyd. So they did that thing for me. And I recorded it on my phone. And that's probably about 10 years old, but it still lives. How about that?
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.